In the Gospels, there's one place where it says that Jesus has done, people were astonished to him and said, he has done all things well. And one of the things that people, again, were astonished at about Jesus, and I think maybe we would do well to be astonished by maybe a little bit more than we are. Sometimes I think we take the things that we hear in the gospel a little bit, you know, for granted, like, oh yeah, I've already heard that or whatever, and don't really stop and listen and take time with the scriptures. But is how Jesus teaches. Again, people said they were astonished at the teaching of Jesus because he taught, and these are the words of scripture, with authority and not as the scribes. There is a great integrity to the teaching of Jesus. You know, Jesus himself said about the scribes and Pharisees, you know, said, do whatever they tell you. I mean, the content of their teaching is fine, but don't be like them. Because the way they taught and the witness of their lives was not integrated with what they taught. And so there was a disconnect. You know, the Lord identifies that as hypocrisy, really. But we don't see that in Jesus. In Jesus, there is this integrity to his teaching. I think that's what people meant when they said he teaches with authority. That not only what Jesus taught was truth and liberating, but the way he taught it was in complete keeping with that. And also the witness of his own life, the way he lived his life. And so when you encounter Jesus, there was never any sense of a disconnect whatsoever. Another thing about Jesus is, too, he's very straightforward in his teaching. Again, a lot of times people who come to Jesus and say something to him or ask him a question, it's very obvious that their question or whatever they say is not really what they have in mind. You know, again, we see people trying to trip Jesus up or trap him or get what they want or something like that. That's kind of what we've got in the gospel today, don't we? James and John come up to Jesus and say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. That's a little manipulative, isn't it? You know? Ever been asked that? Ever been set up that way, especially maybe by children or something like that? I want you to give me whatever I ask for, right? Well, what are you going to ask for? You know, that's the right answer to that. And so, but Jesus always is right, you know, right down the middle. If you remember when people used to wear, or they still sometimes people do those WWJD bracelets, or what would Jesus do? So, well, if you're trying to pull one over on Jesus, what Jesus is going to do is turn the tables on you. That's what he's going to do, you know. Like we saw that last week, for example, when Jesus was asked about divorce. Well, you know, Jesus doesn't really want to teach about divorce. So what did he do? He turned the tables, and what did he teach about? Marriage. And what God's plan was about marriage from the very beginning. So he turned the tables. Well, that's what he does today with James and John. James and John, once they get around to actually telling Jesus what they have in mind, he says, okay, well, what do you want? Grant that in your glory we may sit at your right hand and the other at our left. They want to talk about glory. And Jesus turns the tables, and what does he talk about? Service and sacrifice and suffering, which of course are the way to glory, the only way to true glory. But again, he turns the table. He goes straight at this this gospel message. It's interesting though, when Jesus does this, like today, I think James and John hardly know what's happening to them, you know? Jesus is so, he doesn't come at them and say, oh, you blockheads, you've got it all wrong, you know, or something like that, you know. He said, okay, great. Wanting to sit in at the right hand of the, that's a good ambition, actually. I hope we all want to sit in glory in heaven. I hope that's the desire of all of our hearts. But he said, but let me teach you about this more deeply. And then he goes in to reveal about himself the true nature of glory, the true nature of his authority that people spoke of, which come from service. I have come to serve, not to be served. That come from suffering, that come from sacrifice. And that this is the way for his disciples as well. The way to glory is the way of service and suffering and sacrifice. And so he teaches this really, and you know, he turns the table on James and John, but he does it, I think, almost so gently that they hardly know what's happening, you know? And then, of course, he lives this. Don't you imagine that this conversation came back to them at the night of the Last Supper when Jesus got down and washed their feet? Don't you imagine they remembered this? Oh, yes, when Jesus said, whoever wished to be first among you will be the slave of all, which he says in the gospel today. That's him. He is the first among us, and he is doing the work of a slave. Slaves washed feet. And so he does have this authority, this integrity within himself of what he says, of how he says it, and that he lives it. I remember a little while ago, there were some people were talking about, oh, there's this great talk on this YouTube video. You really need to watch this and everything. And I heard a lot of people talking about that. Okay, well, I'll watch it. Well, it was an interesting thing to me because the person who was giving the talk, I would say probably about the content of what they had to say and the way that, and the you know, sort of the rational argumentation, you know, I probably agreed with 90% of it or more. I don't know. But do you know what came across to me? What I was sort of taught by watching that video was, wow, this person is really angry. In watching that video, I felt like I was plastered up. I mean, even though I was sitting at my computer, I felt I was plastered up against the wall, you know? And so what was taught by that was not, to me anyhow, the content of the talk, but the way it was being taught, which were in conflict with one another. In the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, we have this very, it's about this interesting character, the suffering servant. It's interesting, nobody really, the suffering servant, which is a part of the prophet Isaiah, nobody ever really picked up on that very much, actually, until Jesus came along. Because people didn't want to hear that. They thought, oh, you know, whoever is going to come along as Messiah is going to be this great, you know, hero riding in on a horse and smacking everybody on the head and that sort of thing. And the idea that the one who would be first, and who is not first, if not the Lord Jesus, would be the slave of all, would suffer and be rejected, would willingly be a servant. I think we see Jesus maybe teaching most powerfully in that role of the suffering servant before Pilate. You know, in that situation, all the power from a worldly point of view is in Pilate's hand. But when you read the Passion narrative about that, who comes off as the weakling? Pilate, absolutely. And Jesus, who even Pilate says, why don't you say something? Why don't you stick up for yourself? Because he doesn't have to. Because the integrity of his words and his life and the way that he has taught, this his meekness. A lot of people think meekness is the same thing as weakness, and it couldn't be any further apart. To be meek, like Jesus standing there before Pilate, and it's a perfect example of meekness. Well, as I said before, who's the strong one in that encounter? Who's driving that ship? It's pretty clear Jesus is. It takes tremendous self-mastery, tremendous willingness to serve, tremendous willingness to sacrifice. This is the message for all of us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think we all really better start getting good at this, to tell you the truth. To be witnesses of Jesus Christ in this way, with this authority, with the authority of the suffering servant, of the one who is willing to be the slave of all in order to be first.